So maybe I'll sit this out.
Okay, so this week in Mirza Shem, during the 3 days that I have available, assuming I fly out Tuesday night, you're flying out Tuesday, we'll talk about the first base on Mikdash. There's the... Let me give you an example. In the 20th century, Jews think a lot about the Second World War and the Shoah because of the terrible tragedy, and we don't think enough about the First World War, how much that impacted human consciousness, how it impacted the Jewish world in certain ways, many, many deep intellectual ways, not just security and materialistically. I think there's a somewhat similar pattern with the two Churbanos. When we think about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the second Churban is just much more accessible because it's documented historically, Josephus and others, and the time, because Chazal articulated very lengthily in Shas, because it's more remote, so at least we can identify that era. All the way back to the first Beis HaMikdash, 300 BCE. We have Tanakh, of course, but Tanakh is very cryptic and very coded. Chazal don't elaborate it as much. It's a very different period. We're far more familiar with the Romans and the Greeks and their way of life than we are with Babylonians. So it becomes the ugly stepchild of the Churban. We spend so much time on the Ten Martyrs and the Kinos, and we just, especially, I notice a lot of people, I like to say as many Kinos as possible and say Kinos at the Chazal's. A lot of people skip the Kinos about the first Beis HaMikdash and run to the Kinos of the second Beis HaMikdash and the medieval Kinos. So I'm just spent a few days describing what happened in the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, beyond the obvious, what I mean is a total and complete theological and moral breakdown. As I'll speak about Gilui Aroya, Shefichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't underestimate their statements, and we shouldn't overglorify the past. Sometimes we do overglorify the past. It's a great, great error of reading history and of enfeebling human achievement. We're all midgets and they're all giants. We have nowhere to go and nowhere to perform. Unfortunately, they just discovered graves in Beit Shan up north. And literally every grave from the first temple era has an idol with it, buried with their idols. So there was a complete and total breakdown, a lot of murder, sexual promiscuity. And those are obvious. I won't have to deliver shir, won't have to discuss that. But what happened beyond the obvious? What are some of the failures of the first Beis HaMikdash that led to its destruction? So one is the corruption of prophecy. Now, the corruption of prophecies is a great, great fail because the Jews are chosen primarily because we have the capacity for prophecy. The Khazari says we're not chosen because we're smarter, we're not chosen because we're better DNA, we're not chosen because we're stronger, we're chosen because we have a predilection towards receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supernatural world. And prophecy is important, not just to be able to bet on the races and the horses and know what tomorrow will bring and to know the future politically. It's important because, first of all, prophecy is helpful in charting personal growth and direction. In the days of prophets, you used to sit with the Navi, and the Navi would tell you how exactly you should develop and grow, how exactly you should develop. Today we're confused, and we spend so much time searching for identity and growth and direction because we don't have. And because it creates a world of supernaturalism, not a world of empiricism, we're stuck in a world of rationalism, which we can't imagine anything beyond these rational prison cells that incarcerate us with invisible bars, and we think we know everything, and then there's a whole pathway to truth that we just don't avail ourselves of. And also because it creates an intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sense that you're constantly talking to Hashem, and people are talking to Hashem. So there was a corruption of prophecy. Now, what does this have to do with our day? I'm trying to make this relevant. We don't have prophets. We don't have corrupt prophets. So what can we learn from the first Beis HaMikdash and its failings? So I want to read a few psukim in Yirmiyah. First of all, a title, pasuk. The people who corrupted prophecy were called, and this is in Yirmiyah, Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Lamed. And Hashem gives a general direction. He says, good morning. Lachain. Hineni al hanaviim nor mashem, I am upon you, you corrupt neviim. Meganve divarai. Very powerful phrase. You're stealing my words. Meganve divarai. You're a ganav. It means I didn't say these words, I didn't say these statements, I didn't issue this prophetic information, and you're speaking in my name with the authority that my name carries in ways that I never delivered to you. You're a ganav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're hijacking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So today we don't have prophets, but we have people who do hijack, have people hijack HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you speak in the name of Hashem, and you speak in the name of religion, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and what you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So obviously you're not a Navi, it's not supernatural, it's not prophetic, but you're in that same space. A Navi, as opposed to Moshe, there was a little bit of Hashem's inspiration, and then that was filled out by your own signature, your own thoughts, your own translation, Torah wasn't written without translation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the Torah to Moshe, every word was carefully choreographed and carefully telegraphed to Moshe, every vav, every crown. Nevuah leaves a little bit room for human expression. So that's where we live. We're not Nevi'im, but we study HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and then we interpret it and we stream it through our own experience. And then people speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about one Hashem, when you speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu halachically, then you can speak very confidently because it's math. You get all the information, you get all the poskim, you crunch the numbers, and you come up with halachic psak. It's not math, and then it's not binary. There are many different pathways, but it's crunching numbers, crunching information, crunching psak, crunching shitas. When you talk about hashkafa, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views our world, and so you obviously have to draw from previous sources, but it's very speculative because there's a plethora of ideas and you're interpreting it through your own experience. So you should speak with a little bit of humility. I like to tell young boys when I meet young boys, you're a little bit older, you're still young enough. If a Rebbe ever uses the following word, you should walk out the door. This is the MS. Human beings don't know the MS of Hashem. It's all just fractional MS of how we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is my MS, this is my interpretation. When people speak too confidently and too dismissively, and too aggressively. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. Not about halacha. Again, halacha is very clear and precise. But about hashkafa, it has a little bit of a flavor of stealing and hijacking HaKadosh. Who are you to speak with such confidence that this is the ratzon of HaKadosh? This is how I feel. This is what we believe. A little bit of anivos, a little bit of intellectual humility. And there's a sense of that meganve shmi, that you're stealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority. Now, why did the Nevi'im in the first Beis HaMikdash become so corrupt? So some of it was financial, and that's why they're looped together with the Kohanim. You have a sense that they just enjoyed their power, enjoyed their fame, enjoyed their position. They profited off of the position. They're accused of being of Hanifa, flattery of money, of monetary payments. Some of it is that they prophesize, and this is all in Yirmiyah Perichav Gimel, if you want to read a nice short parak that condenses, not short, but probably condenses all the failures of Nevuah. They spoke in the name of Baal, certainly the northern Nevi'im in the tribe of Shomron and the 10 tribes. They prophesize in the name of the Avodah Zarah. But there are two other issues that seem to come to the fore, specifically about the southern Nevi'im. First of all, they prophesize to support their own positions. Namely, they had a very comfortable life. The state of Israel was very, very successful, they thought. They had a couple of foreign threats, but by and large, life was very comfortable for them. And Yirmiyah was a disruptor. He wanted to disrupt their reality and challenge them. And that's why he was incarcerated. That's why so many Nevi'im were murdered. We'll talk about that maybe later this week. Zechariah, not our Zechariah, first temple Zechariah, first Beis HaMikdash Zechariah was murdered. Yirmiyah was incarcerated. Others. And the Nevi'im were employing false Nevuah to support their own position, to support their own reality, to support, in this case, their own comfort, their own luxury, not their own ideological positions. But that's a little bit what you see today also, that people are so staunchly committed to their positions and they know the truth, and then they all of a sudden psychologically listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, rather than saying, as I said before, this is the truth that I've been taught and this is the truth that I feel successful, and I believe this to be true. But just to introduce a little bit of intellectual humility when speaking about the word of Hashem. Bilam had no intellectual humility. Bilam assumed that he was just your dad, that's Elion. And the Nevi'im of the first Beis HaMikdash, they felt a little bit too confident in their own expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and they became Meganve Devar Hashem. I'll talk about the other issue, maybe we'll talk about tomorrow, why the Nevi'im, about dreams versus Nevuah, what you think is Nevuah, what you think is your own personal dreams, your own personal interests. There's a lot of, maybe I'll talk about that just very quickly. I want a very nice pasuk. Shamati es asher amru ha-Nevi'im. This is Pasuk Chafei. I've heard these Nevi'im. Hanibim b'shmi sheker. They speak in my name falsely. Lemor chalamti. Had a dream. So your dream is yours. Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do you discern the difference between your own ambitions and your own dreams and Kodesh Baruch Hu's word? Very often people confuse religious idealism with their own personal ambition. I want to be the Rebbe. I want to be the teacher. I want to be the head. I want to be the... There's a lot of ambition driving that. And then they wrap it in this halo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Hashem made me special, and I have to be the leader, and I have to be the Rosh Hashiva. And there's a blurring of lines between personal dreams and between Nevuah. Ad Masai, Hashem says, HaChoshvim Lashkiach Ami Shmi B'Chalmosam. Their own dreams and they're making people forget my name. Here's the money pasuk. Hanavi asher ito chalom, a navi that has a chalom, yisaper chalom. Tell him his dream. Don't cloak it with nevuah. If you have a dream, just share your dream. Asher deveri ito, but if you have my word, then you deveri deveri a mess. Then space on my word. Know the difference between your own personal dreams and a chalom. And the pasuk ends, malateven esabar. What's the relationship between straw and between edible items and non-edible items? The end of the chalom is non-edible. It's just your own psychological psychobabble coming through the surface. Nevuah is a direct delivery from Hashem. So this is one of the areas of the first base of Megiddo, and it crops up throughout Yirmiyah in particular. Remember, Yirmiyah is the corrective Navi. He's the Navi that comes to challenge. He's the Navi that speaks to Devar Hashem. He's the Navi that's terrified to be a Navi because he knows he'll be assaulted for his authenticity and his honesty. But we don't have Nevuah today, and part of that is the message that sadly we compromise. Sometimes we fall so far, we forget we're falling. We live in a world without Nevuah. It's one of the great travesties of the first base of Megiddo. Could you imagine how different our world would be if we had prophecy? The answer is no, we can't. That just shows how far we've fallen. We even can't imagine a world of prophetic supernatural input, which is so scientific and so empirical, and our pathway to truth and fact is cognitive. We can't imagine there's another pathway in which we receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, not through cobbling together our scientific and methodological inquiry and trying to paint a portrait of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a totally different era. Second of all, not just the surrender and the loss of Nevuah, the failure of Nevuah, but to try to map some of those psychological tendencies onto our own reality. People speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect their positions ideologically. They speak too confidently in the name of Hashem. And very often they're unable to differentiate between their own personal chalom and the Nevuah of Hashem. So this is all in Yirmiyah Peruch of Gimel, if you want to take a look. Okay? Tomorrow we'll talk about over-politicalization of the state of Israel. The great failure of Shlomo and Yoshiah. Okay? Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day.